Hey, everybody, why are men becoming conservatives? Rich Barris goes to the latest states with us, the impact of RFK, Cornel West, Jill Stein, and No Labels officially has suspended its efforts to draft a presidential candidate. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member to support our program. It's members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you become a member, you are able to listen to every episode advertiser free. So check it out right now. members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. There's something happening around the world that is going to impact the 2024 election. I saw it last evening at the University of Kansas. The amount of young men that are becoming right-wingers is remarkable. What is driving this? Well, first of all, we have seen the hyper-feminization of the American culture. We have seen political correctness, where if you use the wrong pronoun, you could lose your job. We have seen it harder and harder for young men to find a suitable partner, and marriage rates have collapsed. Birth rates are going down dramatically. It's harder than ever to own a home. That the basic material connections that young men, that any human needs to be successful, is harder than ever. Liberalism has become this feminine, suffocating dictatorship of fake niceness. Young men, especially young white men, are explicitly discriminated against constantly. There was a TikTok video somebody sent me that I think was perfect, the way that he put this together. The question is, well, what's going on with young men? What's happening with them? Let's play cut 27, please.
Adult white males between the ages of, say, 18 and 25 to...
The economy sucks. You're probably never going to buy a house. Your degree is useless and left you in mountains of debt. You're nowhere near capable of providing for a wife and kids, and you can't imagine yourself settling down with any of the women in your age bracket anyway, because Disney princess programming and feminism has left them fundamentally unwifeable. You've grown up in a culture which has celebrated every other form of identity besides you, and in exact proportion to how much they're not you, to the point that now schools and companies can hire based on that metric, all the while being told you can't complain or notice any of it because of how privileged you are. And if you don't know how privileged you are, it's because of your privilege. Even though you're basically a debt slave with minimal hope of a financial and familial future because your economy and culture has abandoned you. So a lot of dudes just checked out and started like smoking weed and playing video games. Some of the other ones went to countries where they like white people and men, like Thailand, I guess. And some of them were like, you know what, this is a good challenge. None of it makes sense. It's all going to but I want a big house. And if you come on my land, I'm going to shoot you with guns. I want a bunch of kids and a wife churning butter. I'm going to make it happen.
That energy. But I want to zero in on one thing that he said is young men checking out. We have record amounts of young men that are checking out and kind of just doing a passive job, smoking weed, doing video games. The culture is actively antagonistic to young men. Women are openly encouraged to be unpleasant. Great heroes of history are dismissed as dead white men. School is set up to encourage girls over boys. From the literature selections to how classrooms are actually configured. Men want to be heroic and great. Young men are actively discouraged against, so they check out. The political divide is remarkable. The so-called Gen Z generation, roughly those between 12 and 27, have a lot in common. Environmental concerns, formative years shaped by a global recession, pandemic. But there appears to be one striking and widening divide, gender. Analysis by the FT of polling data finds Gen Z men increasingly identify as more conservative and women as more liberal. In the United States, women age 18 to 30 are now 30% more liberal than that of the same age. A similar trend exists in South Korea, Germany, the UK, China, Tunisia, and Poland. This is worldwide. This is global. So what is the driving force behind this? This is a positive trend. It's a positive trend because it is rooted, first and foremost, in young men taking ownership of their country, ownership of their life. Left-wing politics is inherently disempowering. Right-wing politics is about you have to improve your life, get married, have children, own property. And it is rebellious. In fact, it requires a little bit of a disagreeable, higher testosterone attitude to be on the right than to be on the left and say, yeah, you know, everything's racist, everything's terrible. Understand what young men see on the cultural horizon. Nothing is considered worse by the press than some institution being, quote, overwhelmingly white and male. Yet if you look at any institution like that, it's probably something successful and impressive. Oh, wow, airline pilots are too white and too male? I guess we have too many safe landings at O'Hare International Airport. Oh, wow, Silicon Valley is too white and too male? Too bad that we have too many innovative companies. And young men, especially young white men, but this transcends all racial lines. The young men that are coming to our Turning Point events that are on fire for this right-wing revolution is all different backgrounds. It's black, it's Hispanic. And there is a fair amount of young women that are coming along too. In fact, a lesser reported figure, my team briefed me on this morning as we were getting ready for a Turning Point Action investor presentation. We have the best team at Turning Point. They do an unbelievable job. And one of the very smart young ladies that works for us there, she said, Charlie, do you know that young women are 4 points less liberal this year than they were in 2020? She said, look, they're still overwhelmingly liberal, but they've actually moved 4 points less liberal in the last 4 years. I said, that's incredible. And I totally believe it because maybe they got married. When you get married, you become less liberal. When you have a family, you become significant. The data is unbelievable. You become significantly less liberal. And we want a country. We want a country with borders. We want a country that has standards. One leader that I think articulates this better than almost anybody else is Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek is coming on to speak at our investor retreat coming up. I don't know about you, but I believe that we haven't heard enough from Vivek recently. I think we need to deploy Vivek out there. We have to get Vivek. I think Turning Point can do that in addition to, you know, trying to win an electoral vote and hiring ballot chasers and two high school college campuses, Blexit, Turning Point Academy, TPUSA Faith. I'm a big Vivek fan. Let's play cut 74, please.
If you have had the largest mass illegal migration into this country in American history, then it stands to reason, Larry, that we require the largest mass deportation in American history as well. And the trap that somehow the media has led the public to believe, and I think we ought to explain to the public what's going on, is this is not compassion. This is cruelty. It is cruelty to Americans. It is cruelty to many of the Hispanic communities in America who came legally to this country, who are suffering the scourge of crime and other effects of that illegal mass migration.
Illegal mass migration. Vivek continues in cut 75.
It's people in inner cities that are suffering, black, white, brown, and everything in between, Democrat and Republican included. The South Side of Chicago converting local high schools into encampments for those illegal migrants. It is a rejection of American principles. We're a nation founded on the rule of law. And so I don't think that this is cruel. I think it is the compassionate thing to do, both for Americans and to stand for the rule of law. It's logical. End those incentives to be here illegally. Stop funding the sanctuary cities. Stop funding Central America until they stop the northward flow of migrants.
I think Vivek Ramaswamy could be one of the difference makers in this upcoming election. I think Vivek Ramaswamy, properly deployed as a surrogate, could be excellent. Okay, we officially now have the details about our event next week in Nebraska. It will be this coming Tuesday at 7 p.m. We're hosting it at a local church, the Lord of Hosts Church, in Omaha, Nebraska. Win every vote. Support winner. Take all Nebraska. tpaction.com/rally. That is tpaction.com/rally. So check it out. I think that you'll really appreciate attending, and we got to keep the pressure on. Remember, it's a three-step move that we have isolated right now. The first step and the first thing is, number one, let's try to get this through with cloture, or try to get this through in the current session. That doesn't work, try to get a special session. That doesn't work, do another event on the steps of the Capitol like they did for the vaccine mandate and try to force a special session. We're not going to give up. tpaction.com/rally. We're going to be there next week, and we're going to be making a lot of noise. We're going to do our best to try to bring this across the finish line, Lord willing. Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. If you deal with exhaustion, brain fog, mood swings, or food cravings, if you're constantly getting sick or simply lack the zeal you used to have in life, then I have some news for you. A while back, I found a liquid supplement called Strong Cell, and it changed my health in a very profound way. I take it every single day. Look, I knew I had to partner with them. I did the research, Google, and look up online what happens when you mix NADH with CoQ10 and marine collagen. It's simple. Every area of your body has cells. So if your cells are healthier, then you will also be healthier. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to one of these testimonials. After taking Strong Cell for 6 weeks, I found improvement in many areas, less shoulder pain, improved mental clarity, increased natural energy, and so much more. I'm thankful that Charlie Kirk recommended this to his listeners. Rebecca says, I absolutely love Strong Cell. At first, I didn't think it would make much of a difference for my chronic fatigue, depression, and anxiety, but I thought I'd give it a chance. I've tried to find depression meds for 10 years, and since I use Strong Cell, I'm feeling better than I ever have on depression medication. Customer for life. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for recommending this product. So there it is. You've heard from me directly and some of the users who have seen their lives changed by Strong Cell. I personally recommend taking it every day for at least 30 days. I take it every day before I go on the air, and it's helped me in more ways than I can even name. Each of our bodies is very different, so I would recommend you give the supplement at least 2 to 3 months to see the changes in your body. Go to strongcell.com and learn more for yourself. That's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use discount code Charlie at checkout to get your special 20% discount for Kirk listeners. Or you can call 888-596-0155 to order over the phone. That is 888-596-0155 or visit strongcell.com/Charlie. I'm going to play some tape here. We're doing the event next week in Omaha, and we're doing it at a church. And this church has been a wonderful partner. I've known him for a while. He's a great guy, Pastor Hank. There is an op at play right now talking about how Donald Trump is projecting fear and hatred into politics. This is Jim Wallace. Play cut 38, please.
Trump is projecting a trajectory in politics of fear, hate, and violence. Now that's being projected onto religion. The same thing. Yeah. So how do we overcome that fear?
Right.
How do we talk about the politics of neighbor love?
Yep.
That's really what we're talking about. That is
the key. The new book is titled The False White Gospel, Rejecting Christian Nationalism, Reclaiming True Faith, and Refounding Democracy, author Jim Wallace.
The False White Gospel. They're doing everything they possibly can to prevent Christians from speaking up, to prevent Christians from engaging. They know the power of the church. They know the power of my friend Jack Hibbs. They know the power of Rob McCoy. They know the power of what a strong, confident pastor can do if they speak out biblically. This is why we have the sequence of all these different books. We have The Power and the Kingdom and the Glory by Tim Alberta, The False White Gospel by Jim Wallace, Rob Reiner's film, the slur that they use, Christian nationalists. And I got asked the question last evening in Lawrence, Kansas. Should we embrace the term or not? I'm not convinced that we should. Usually I'm an embrace the term guy. But I think they've defined it too much. We could have fought on it early, and we got to be a little bit careful here. I am both a Christian and a nationalist. I'm not afraid of the term. I am afraid of the connotation, because I just want to win. And the connotation, they're just trying to call you a Nazi by other means. And I say this everywhere I go. I say this at churches. I say it last night. I say that we're Christians who love Jesus, who love America, that want a restoration of the Constitution. And that's the one thing they don't want us talking about. They don't want the one thing that connects our movement together. And if there was something, if I could say, I know it sounds a little wonky, but I think we got to talk about the Constitution more. The Constitution is the greatest political document ever composed. that is built on the moral and the civil law as articulated in Deuteronomy. The Constitution has a preference on individual rights given to you by God, not by government. And God is on the ballot in 2024, make no mistake. The question of where do your rights come from? The temporal or the eternal? Do you want to live in some sort of totalitarian, satanic, globalist regime? This document is not just a bunch of words on a piece of paper. It is a promise. It is a promise that our founding fathers composed based on an analysis of human nature. Studying the Romans, studying the Greeks, studying the Chinese, they realized that power concentrates quite easily. And then human beings are broken from birth. We know that in the Christian tradition. We know that in the Torah, that the heart of man is flawed from the beginning. Therefore, you have to have systems that decentralize that power, that allow states their own sovereignty and rights while still being part of a national project. In most Western countries, they do not explicitly state in their Charter of Rights the origination of where those rights come from. They certainly do not believe in natural rights. They'll say that the government is the administer of rights. That is not an American value. It's that your rights are natural, given to you from God, a creator, some sort of divine force. This is one of the most important divides in the country. Where do your rights come from? And understand, if you talk about rights, you must always talk about responsibilities. You cannot have a conversation about rights and not also simultaneously understand with rights come responsibilities. The Constitution projects all of that. And every single one of the 10 amendments of the Bill of Rights or the 7 articles of the U.S. Constitution is there for a purpose. The Constitution is beautiful because of its structure, as James Madison would say in the Federalist Papers. The Constitution spreads power over space and time. It is very, very hard to take over the American government in a short period of time. That's because we are a republic. We are not a democracy. If rights are not from God, they can just grant us. They are just a grant to us from the powerful and from the left, holding power, things that they can revoke whenever they feel like it. But if they're from God, nobody can take your rights away. They can protect them, but they are inalienable. Joining us now is Rich Barris, peoplespundit.locals.com. That's peoplespundit.locals.com. Rich, welcome to the program. Rich, I've been very focused on Nebraska. Educate our audience. Why is that one vote in Nebraska so important?
Oh, Charlie, I'll tell you what. First of all, everybody needs to know, and I've heard you tell the audience this before, everyone needs to know that this is possible, too, because we just had a census, which deals with government spending allocations. It deals with congressional districting. And, of course, it deals with the Electoral College and what state gets how many votes. Basically, if there is what, you know, if you're calling the Sun Belt strategy, if Trump holds North Carolina, holds Florida, which he's expected to do, picks up Georgia and Arizona, which the polls suggest he is on track to do, as well as potentially be the first Republican since Bush to win Nevada, which looks very plausible at this point, then in the event, Charlie, he was to lose Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, then it would, if Nebraska was a winner-take-all system, then it would basically end up in a tie. It would block Biden from being able to get 270, and it would, guess where, go to, in the event of a tie, the House, which is controlled currently anyway, by who? Republicans, right? So it is a smart strategy, and I just want to say this, Charlie, for Republicans in Nebraska listening out there, I mean, and Republicans everywhere, this is why you're losing. This should be done already, frankly. Democrats are willing to throw their opponents in jail for the rest of their natural life. They're willing to jail their supporters.
So true.
They're willing to bankrupt billionaires who kept the capital city of New York afloat forever, even though it's Albany's the capital, but that is the heart of New York. It would be a dump without that man. They're willing to bankrupt him and his family, bankrupt political opponents, take you off the ballot, and go to the Supreme Court to argue it's legal when they damn well know it's not. And Republicans can't even make Nebraska winner take all. Come on. This shouldn't even be a question.
And it should have been done previously. And we just kind of
absolutely.
We just did a whole show on it Monday. I think it was Monday. Was it Monday or Tuesday? I think it might have been Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
We've only been doing this for 48 hours. And this thing has just... Yeah. And great credit to the governor, and we have to get this across the finish line because a lot of parliamentarian type stuff going on there. And yep. So we got to make this winner take all. Okay, Rich, walk us through the latest polling. Separate fact from fiction. Jill Biden recently has gotten very defensive. She says, we're up in every poll. We're up in every poll. We're up in every poll. I trust your data, Rich. Walk me through. What have we learned? What is new? What's going on here?
Yeah, I think Joe Biden had a heads up from these lefty academic institutions that have released these polls in the last couple of days. It all started that narrative with the Bloomberg poll, Charlie, which was conducted in early March. So it very much seems to be a narrative. That being said, I have told people, you know, I am uncomfortable with the leads that we have found for Trump in some of these states. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins Florida by 15. He's going to win Ohio by close to 14, 15. I wouldn't be surprised by any of that. But, you know, 6-point leads in Pennsylvania, Charlie, which, by the way, before.
I don't believe it. I don't mean to interrupt.
I'm telling you,
it makes me
uncomfortable.
That feels like a suppression poll, as the Rush Limbaugh would teach us. That feels fake. No way.
This is why we did it this way, and we have been actually for a few months. We did, and we found it ourselves, Charlie. I mean, if it's Trump, Biden versus a generic someone else, then Trump is up about 6 points, 47-41. And Wall Street Journal, when we came out with that poll, a couple hours later, the Wall Street Journal dropped and found something very similar. However, then we asked about, of course, JFK on the ballot. Then we added Jill Stein with JFK. But when you just drill down head to head, and I don't know if the graphics, you guys have the graphics I sent over, but for the Keystone State, the Pennsylvania poll, I gave those two bars to show people which one's which. The bottom bar is just a standard head to head. If you don't give anyone another choice, the voters can have to choose A, B versus Trump and Biden. It's close. Trump leads, but it's close. So it's with leaners, it's 51.1 to 48.9. I mean, that is if Trump wins Pennsylvania. Thank you. If Trump wins Pennsylvania, Charlie, this is what I would expect. So if you look at the first test of the ballot, it's 47-41.3. That's because there are a bunch of people out there who are really soured on Biden. Trump has a base that just won't abandon him, right? So I think it's a little bit misleading. I'm not taking away from Trump's lead because Joe Biden needs a 4-point win in the national vote in order to win the Electoral College or be comfortable that he will win the Electoral College. I find it funny that I've been saying this for a week and Marquette drops a Biden +4 today. It seems so engineered to me. I'm sorry. There is no coincidence. So
your polling, had RFK on the ballot. Yes. Is that correct?
Yes. We also did that. That result doesn't show RFK on the ballot, but we did have RFK on the ballot alone without Jill Stein and just a generic someone else. RFK in Pennsylvania takes 7%, and it's Trump 44.5 to 38.8. When you lean people and say, well, you have to decide, it's Trump 45.4 to Biden 39.7. RFK gets 8, and a generic someone else takes 7. Stein, same thing. When you ask people to lean, Stein is getting about 3% of the vote everywhere. Kennedy's at 9 as well in this, but Biden does jump to 42. But again, Trump's got that base, and he doesn't fall anymore below 45. So it's like 45.7 to 41.2. So he holds a small lead. But again, Charlie, when you don't have them on the ballot, because I do think RFK, and I've said this on your show before, he may not even get on the ballot in Pennsylvania.
Okay, you have ballot access concerns for RFK.
I very much do.
Okay,
and then when I was polling Michigan, I was really something was bothering me that we didn't ask the question just with Jill Stein, because the truth of the matter is he has it's been very unserious to me. His campaign doesn't seem to know what in hell they're doing when it comes to ballot access. And it just is unserious. I was on Newsmax with Mark Halpern a while ago when we were both just, you know, in agreement 100%. They don't seem to know how to do this, Charlie. And they have this really incoherent strategy. Jill Stein is on the ballot already in Michigan.
That's a big deal.
She is on the ballot in Wisconsin.
That's a guaranteed 1-2% just being on the ballot.
Yeah. And she's pulling in, let me just look real quick, in Pennsylvania, it's 3. In Michigan, let me just get it because Michigan's brand new. Wisconsin's coming up too, but it always takes a little bit more time. In Michigan, she is pulling, about a little over 2%. So, you know, in elections that are 151-49, Charlie, or 49-48 with third parties, it's a big deal. It could be a game changer.
Debt, it keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest rate credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. With Pivotal Debt Solutions, you can cut or even eliminate interest, find programs to write off your balances so you owe less, stop these threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line is they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first to talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That is zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com. So let's say RFK will be on the ballot in North Carolina. I think he'll be on in Arizona. The data you show, or you see, is he pulling more from Biden than Trump?
It depends on the state. If I was Team Trump, I'd be very concerned in the Rust Belt. I know what other polls are showing. I really don't care. I trust my own data more. In the Rust Belt, he is a problem for Donald Trump in every state except for Minnesota, which is weird, but it makes sense because of the ethnicity difference. Minnesota has a lot more liberal Scandinavian ethnicities like Finns and Swedes that are left-leaning and that kind of a voter, which is still a populist Democrat. What could go for RFK. So that would give Biden a real problem in some parts of the Southeast, but like Olmstead, but really a big problem in the Iron Range where Trump has made huge gains and Democrats have only managed to hold one stronghold and one tiny little county. So that's where I think it's a very complicated dynamic. But in Pennsylvania and Michigan, it looks to me, regardless of what the national polls say and other polls say, he's drawing from certain working class voters. The hope for Trump, it better be that he pulls what remains of the non-white working class Democratic vote that's not going to Trump. That's the only way it could. But as of right now, he is not pulling educated Democrats away from Biden.
Yeah,
he's
that's
not.
Right. So let's talk about Michigan, which could determine the whole program, the whole deal.
Yep.
The Muslim thing. The American Muslim voting group, they're very loud.
Yeah.
They're showing a lot of discontent for Biden. What's going on here? Is this what is your data showing? How significant is this? What does this model out? Like, let's say that if an XYZ percent of American Muslim voters don't vote for Biden, what does that mean statewide? Walk us through. Is this a shiny object in the media or a real meaty element for the election?
It's a real problem for Joe Biden, Charlie, because if you look at his roughly a little less than 3-point win in 2020, what that breaks down margin wise is about the population of Muslim voters registered to vote and do vote in the state of Michigan. So his entire margin. Now, he didn't win 100% of them, but he won them overwhelmingly. So if there is some kind of a boycott or a protest vote or something like that, it could really hurt. And here's why. There are too many other truly swing voters in counties like Saginaw and Genesee and Macomb, and Oakland's more left now, but Trump has tightened it even in Oakland. It's not a 16 to 20 point drumming anymore this year. It's more like a 10 point, which is huge, by the way. But those people, Biden's already lost. So he can't afford to lose anybody else on the margins. And if he capitulates to them, then he could risk, not only isolating the Jewish vote that still cares about Israel, but even more so that there are just other Christians that are actually more pro-Israel than liberal Jews.
Well, yeah,
are.
And also, there's been New York Times articles about this, though, that Biden has a tension between a smaller community of Jewish donors and a big community of Muslim voters. That's the tension, right?
It's a good way to put it.
And so they're. Joe Biden enjoys being able to raise money, millions of dollars, from liberal, left-wing, somewhat pro-Israel, Jewish donors that were very disturbed, understandably, about October 7th. And they do not want to see a capitulation to the kind of Rashida Tlaib wing of the Democrat Party. So, Rich, let's kind of go state by state based on your confidence level right now. If I'm reading this correctly, in 2016, the Rust Belt carried Donald Trump to the presidency. It seems as if the Sun Belt very well could be decisive. Sun Belt plus a Rust Belt state. Am I analyzing that correctly, Rich Barris?
You are. And I know people have, there's a lot of concerns about Arizona. So many people thought that, Kerry Lake had a big lead in Arizona in the governor's election. And I will just tell you, because, you know, looking at the polling and what we've done ourselves, it's a different electorate. You know, I don't know how else to explain it to people. There's like the most high interest and typically more educated, even among Republicans who come out to vote during a midterm election. There will be, especially with Trump as the nominee, there will be this group of voters that that truly are swing and low propensity that you will not get in a midterm. I mean, it's just a fact. And then with Georgia, combined with Georgia, which he's been polling very strong in, and then my state, North Carolina, everyone seems to think like this came out of nowhere. The new RNC chair, Michael Whatley, who when asked, who do I think should replace Rona McDaniel, the first person I've relayed with, you know, to people was Michael Whatley, because he has done so much in the face of like a Democratic onslaught to turn the state purple. He has resisted it. And there's starting to be like signs of what I saw in Florida going back to 2013.
Yeah, to turn North Carolina deep red, which, by the way, no one really would have thought. And we got to get Mark Robinson across the finish line. That's going to be a real tough one.
Yeah, Josh Stein is hated here by Republicans, but they're going to try to level these attacks. You've seen them. I don't have to tell you. They're very misleading. But, hey, that's what the media does. That's what Democrats do. And I will say this. You know, going back to 2020, you had the Maris poll, which everyone's talking about today. That had Roy Cooper defeating Forrester by – like 15 or 16 points, Charlie. He won, but he won by like four. So everyone had abandoned Forrester. They didn't think he could beat Cooper, even with Trump on the ballot, and that was a mistake. So the thing they should think about that when they think about getting Mark Robinson over the finish line, because you know how squishy some of these people can be. Some of these attacks are going to come. They're going to want to run from him. The guy already has won a statewide election.
So, Rich, I want to get
can do it.
I want to get your breaking reaction here. Breaking news: No Labels ends 2024 presidential efforts. Good news or bad news for Trump?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think in the end it would have been it is good news, because the people they wanted to run would have hurt Biden. There's no doubt about it. But that means they were just going to they were going to try to meddle. And the only reason why I say it's good news, this is another good state to explain it. Pat McCrory, the former governor who lost his reelection, he's been running around with No Labels and trying to get people not to vote for Donald Trump. And I don't mean vote for his candidate. I mean not vote for Donald Trump. And talking to influential people, a lot of people listen to in the state. So he's out now and he has no banner to do that with. They weren't No Labels. They were No Trump. Because they publicly said we would not run someone if we thought that it would hurt Joe Biden. So that's what their research has shown, because that's what our research has shown. They would have hurt him. The only thing they could have thought to do was run a few other people that could have hurt Trump. They all said no. And that's good news, because they weren't even – I mean, Charlie, they weren't trying to find somebody like a Nikki Haley, or they were trying to find like a Joe Manchin, or you know, even try to get RFK and boost him up. You know, I don't know what came in that meeting, but their mission was to peel votes from Trump. Let's get real with the No Labels. Cute, but not realism.
Biggest focal point for the Trump campaign: what state, what region, where does he have to improve the most?
Yeah, I would say this. I just polled Florida. Florida is not competitive. Ohio is not competitive. Iowa is not competitive. I mean, I could draw a star on the map with the same, you know, 5 to 7 places, Charlie, that he should be going. They need to expand and be aggressive. Joe Biden, for all of this talk about how the polls are closing, Joe Biden just sent a crack team, 3 people, they are pros, with a huge budget to Minnesota. So what does that tell you? They're trying to defend Minnesota. Yeah, it's a big deal. And the last poll in Maine, not to get everybody all on a hoopla here, but the last poll in Maine had Trump up by 6 statewide. This is a poll that grossly overstated Biden's support in 2020, didn't even project that Donald Trump would carry the second district,
which he did by eight and a half,
something like that, right? So I mean, he should be on the offensive. And Charlie, the shift that we're seeing Do not be afraid to go to places Republicans don't go. In Pennsylvania, you don't have to go to Wilkes. You don't have to go to Wilkes. The votes are coming for you there.
Yep.
Allegheny, Philadelphia, bang on Great. Their back door.
Rich, see you soon. Thanks so much. Check out his Locals page, People's Pundit. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.